Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're going to be talking about guerrilla marketing for the franchisee. Many franchisees enter into a franchise business and think owning their own business will be much easier than it really is. We have the pleasure of meeting with Todd Woods, CEO of Guerrilla Marketing Strategies, Inc., and Eddie Leonard, Chief Operating Guerrilla, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm fine this week, Marty. How about yourself?
Good, good. As you know, talking a little bit before the show, we're snowbound here up in Pennsylvania. I think it's you guys got hit pretty hard yourselves, didn't you?
Yeah, back-to-back storms over the weekend and then yesterday. A kid's been off from school a couple days. It's, I think, even setting records in areas in the Northeast for snow. It's really incredible.
It is. It really is amazing. What happened to global warming, right? You know, it's
talking to my dad about that last night. That seems
exactly.
like a tougher argument these days.
I know. It's true. Our last show, Don, we met with Dan Lockwood, president of Unishippers, and Chris Cadigan, franchise owner of Unishippers of Oceanside, New York. And if you missed the show, Unishippers helps small businesses save time, trouble, and money on all their shipping needs. Thought it was a great concept. I love having the franchisee on the show with the franchisor. It always helps out a bit in understanding the franchise, doesn't it?
Right, because people like hearing firsthand what the franchisee has gone through and how they chose the business and what their experience, how training is. Yeah, I really like Unishippers. You know, I mean, who doesn't want to have a service that can save their business money? And it's a low investment size, and I like the hours of it. It basically falls into business hours for the most part, and there's, you know, limited inventory. It's, it can be a home-based business. A lot of positives to this franchise, and they're doing well and growing. I met some of the other business associates, people who were involved with the franchise over the weekend at a franchise show in Texas, the IFA show. So, you know, very nice people associated with the franchise.
Yeah, it is. It's a great opportunity, you know, especially, as you said, for someone who wants to go into, like, a business-to-business kind of situation. You know, there's a lot of people that have been downsized from corporate America, and they, you know, they want to continue doing that. They like that. They don't want to really deal with a consumer on an individual level, you know. So, and you could sense his passion, too, in talking to him. What I liked is, and he was very honest, too, you know, when we mentioned, you know, something that we don't really ask the franchisees. We said, were you, you know, a little scared about getting into this, you know, and he was honest. He said he was terrified, you know. I mean, it was a big decision, you know, and
which I think is the case with probably over, you know, 90% of people go into business.
Absolutely.
That fear factor and what am I doing and am I making the right decision and goes on and on. It's very tough.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so and he felt like, you know, he's doing a good thing too. He's providing a service, as you said, that, you know, at the end of the day, he's saving businesses money, and that's, you know, one of the things that he feeds off of as well. In addition to making money, you know, he's providing a great service, like you mentioned. So yeah, so I thought it was a great opportunity. You know, I'd like to keep our eye on them, you know, and perhaps have them back at the end of the year or maybe early next year as they continue to grow across the country, you know.
Definitely.
So, yeah, good show. What do we have going on today, Don?
Well, today we, I mean, I'm very excited about the show. You and I being marketing and and advertising guys, and what they've sold over 14 million books, guerrilla marketing for the franchisee.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're having on Todd Woods, the CEO of Guerrilla Marketing Strategies, and Eddie Leonard, Chief Operating Guerrilla.
Yeah, we could probably talk to these guys all day if we wanted to. You know, I mean, I'm really excited to finally have them on the show. I've been familiar with this book. You read it, I think, several years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought it a few years ago, so I saw we were having them on the show. It was pretty exciting.
Absolutely, you know, so we'll have those guys on in segment two. And I know we had to continue some. We didn't get to finish everything that we wanted to talk about last week in segment one. I know you had some interesting topics on mom and pops and
first franchisees, the pros and cons, Marty, from Fox Business, Lisa Porteous, Vienna. You know, basically talking about the advantages of opening up a franchise versus an independent store.
Right.
And the article goes on, there's a dynamic relationship between the franchisor and franchisee. It is to the advantage of both to see the individual businesses succeed. Obviously, you know, there's a lot at stake when a franchisor takes on a franchisee. They have to feel it's a fit for each other. Because franchisors, of course, don't want any failed you know, locations or franchisees.
Right.
And it can be a long-term relationship. But it goes on, there are some disadvantages as well. As for one, franchisees don't have total control over what they can do with their own store. There are give and take. Sometimes it's not a totally a harmonious relationship. The franchisees don't consider the parents a boss. It's a contractual relationship.
Wow. I mean, this is great, Don, that you're reading this. I mean, it was something that I was, you know, thinking about the other day as, you know, as I go back and listen to a lot of our old shows, you know, and we, you know, talk a lot about, you know, comparing like franchise to a marriage. And, you know, to kind of take that back, you know, I guess it's really not, yes, franchising is a relationship, but it's not really a 50-50 relationship, is it? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, who has the final say as far as what goes on in the franchise? You know, it is the franchisor. So, as you mentioned, it's a contractual relationship. So, yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
The business plan often will specify hours of operation, colors of the corporate logo, and other details. Some franchisees may be required to purchase from certain distributors or from other certain promotions and to agree to termination clauses, which essentially say the franchisor may have the right to terminate the franchise agreement if certain items are not met.
Right.
Franchisees might face other stipulations in the franchise agreement, according to the American Franchise Association, including a waiver of legal rights and freedom of association with certain organizations, obligation to purchase supplies from certain entities. Franchisees may feel somewhat constrained by some of the terms of the franchise agreement, and they may want to make some changes. But it's important for them to understand that the branding and the power of the brand is consistency. You need to understand that going in, said Bill Allen, a counselor with the Orlando chapter of SCORE, which is affiliated with the Small Business Administration. Given all these pros and cons, experts agree it takes a certain type of person to be willing and ready to run a franchise versus an independent startup.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, the beginning, I think the beginning process of, you know, to all our listeners, or, you know, I think where a franchise consultant would typically come in is talk about, you know, what is franchising. I think that someone needs to understand that first, you know, before you start to decide, you know, what industry or what franchise you actually want to go forward with, you know, I mean,
right.
Absolutely, these are excellent points.
Some entrepreneurs are so independent-minded, they don't want to give up control of any aspect of the business.
Yeah.
The franchisee owner tends to feel himself very independent within the parameters of the franchise. They don't look at themselves as a less of an entrepreneur just because they've elected to go within a structure.
Absolutely.
That's always been something we've always talked about. You know, when are you considered an entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm.
If you invest in a franchise, are you an entrepreneur?
I heard somebody the other day, I can't remember, and it was on our show, somebody called a franchisee an entrepreneur light. I said, wow, that's very clever. I'm going to have to go back and see. Meaning, you know, it's funny. If you ever go to, like, a foreign country, they don't have Diet Coke. They have Coke Light, you know,
right.
Because people don't want you to know that you're on diets, you know. And I thought that was interesting, saying that the franchisee is actually an entrepreneur light, you know.
Yeah, that's
kind of clever.
Yeah. Here's something, Marty. Franchisees Upbeat Even in Down Economy by William Pack through Express News out of San Antonio. Thought this was interesting article because I was just in San Antonio for the IFA show exhibiting. In a sputtering economy and without any experience running a retail operation, Chris Parker is excited about prospects as he plans to open two more Sport Clips hair salons over the next 2 years. His first Sport Clips franchise on the near north side is making an operating profit after opening just more than a year ago, and he anticipates double-digit growth this year. The success rate with the Sport Clips model is very high, said the retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. We are very confident as long as we execute the model, we'll be fine. Franchising is spread across the world by giving individuals and small businesses the opportunity for a fee and monthly royalties to share in the benefits of well-known brand names and in the business lessons those brands have developed. Jerome Katz, who studies entrepreneurship at St. Louis University, said the Internet has probably taken the lead as the generator of the most business startups. When it comes to acquiring an established business name, a set of practices and business assistance franchising as other business structures beat, Katz says. In many ways, it's the Cadillac of business startups, he said. Another interesting quote. Yeah.
That's a great quote. That's one that has to go in the great quotes in a franchising podcast.
The IFA, which bills itself as the world's oldest and largest franchise industry organization, is holding its 50th annual convention in San Antonio. That just happened. About 2,500 people are expected. Seems about right. And by the way, President George Bush gave the keynote. He was a speaker down there, guest speaker.
Wow, that's fantastic. I guess you didn't get to see him.
No. No, but I did take a picture with a lookalike, which is incredible. Yeah.
We should put that up on the website, huh?
Yeah, well, I'll have it soon. They're supposed to email.
Okay.
Wait, are we doing the show? Is this a side conversation? All right.
It is a side conversation.
Alyssa Harrison, an associate spokeswoman, said the industry experienced steady growth for 20 years until the recession dampened business activity. She estimated in the U.S. it's home to about 2,500 franchisor companies and about 900,000 franchisee outlets. A 2009 study by the association said the number of franchise establishments increased by 5.6% a year from 01 to 05. That's a quote we've mentioned
right,
a few times.
Right, we've referenced that one before, yeah.
Yeah. Last year, the number of franchise businesses declined slightly. I think just about every industry, for the most part, declined. The association said the industry was hurt primarily by a reduction in access to credit. Obviously, that's the main reason why last year was so tough into early part of this year.
Right.
You know, the article goes on, Marty, saying that hopefully bank lending will pick up, which will then, you know, create jobs and get the, you know, the numbers going in the right direction again as far as the number of new franchisees opening and probably new franchisor companies forming.
Mm-hmm.
IFA is predicting a slow recovery in the industry this year.
Okay.
Spending about a 2% increase. The article ends, you're in business for yourself but not by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped many, many people who would not have had the opportunity of building wealth and equity by working for an employer. Is the bottom line with franchising.
That's true. I mean, even if you go back to last week's show, you know, with Unishippers, I was thinking as you're reading this with, you know, Chris, the franchisee,
yeah.
You know, I mentioned to him, you know, could he have done this all by himself? And, you know, he basically said, no way. You know, I mean,
right.
The reason he went into a Unishippers was because it truly was a great system, you know.
And I think he was even in the business before it, so he even felt that he needed the
interesting
backing.
Yeah, it was interesting to me, you know, because a lot of times a franchise doesn't want, not all the time, but a lot of times, you know, they don't want someone that was in the industry, you know. So if you know you're like a Signorama, you know, and they don't want you to have experience in making signs because it's kind of hard to teach an old dog new tricks, you know. I mean, they have
right.
these bad habits and things like that. So sometimes they want someone with no experience whatsoever. You're right, but this guy could have probably tried to do it on his own, but he realized how difficult that would have been. You know, he was
right.
buying into a kick-ass system, so you can say. So, absolutely.
Didn't want to go through the maybe couple of years it takes till he's maybe profitable.
I mean, how many years do you think it would have taken if he would have done this on his own? You know, okay, he has two options. You know, he can go into a Unishippers franchise opportunity, or he could start his own company because he has experience doing it. How long would it take him to, you know, come up with a brand name, you know? And
right.
I mean, when you say Unishippers, you were talking earlier about branding, Don. I mean, that's the power. You know who Unishippers is. I know who they are. You know who they are. You
right.
know, so, I mean, who are you going to use, them, or are you going to use, you know, Chris's delivery service or whatever it may be, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of validity there, absolutely.
Here's something, Marty, from Reuters. Franchisor dropped prices to lure entrepreneurs by Deborah Cohen out of Chicago. If you've ever envisioned yourself slinging hash or pouring coffee in your own restaurant, your dream just got a lot cheaper. With revenues flowing more like molasses than water, franchisors are slashing fees in an attempt to entice would-be entrepreneurs to ditch their cubicles and strike out on their own. That's the strategy employed by Huddle House, a growing chain of family diners, which recently slashed its franchise fee by 80% from $25,000 to $5,000
wow.
and is waiving royalty payments for the first 5 months.
Wow.
It's good to see this. As we go into 2010, we read several different franchisors who gave incentives for people to get into business with different things, you know, including waiving or just lowering the franchise fee.
Well, I mean, think of the deals that are going on right now, Don. You know, I mean, it's tough, you know, say, okay, we'll waive the royalty for, you know, 5 or 6 months, or we'll drop the franchise fee. Look, you mentioned last week you were talking about landlords and leases and things like that, that the deals that are actually going on. There's some killer deals out there right now. I don't think you and I have ever seen deals like this before, you know?
Right.
And, you know, by you saying, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, this is the year of the franchipreneur, I agree with that, you know? And, yes, okay, growth will probably be a little slow, and the IFA saying 2%, okay, that's fair. But I think there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves, you know, maybe next year or the year after that, saying, damn, I could have got this location. You know, I could have, you know, waived the royalty fees and all that other stuff, and now I have to pay. So, pretty interesting. Something that you mentioned last week, too, that I wanted to just include when you were talking about leasing, I think, too, you know, I mean, when you're going the franchise alternative, I think that landlords are probably more willing to work with a franchisee than, you know, an independent, you know, like a mom and pop type of situation.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it's,
yeah.
it's Subway versus, you know, Don Subs, you know, I mean, you look at the success rate of a Subway, which is probably much higher than like a Don Subs, you know, an independent type of situation. I think that helps too, as far as the negotiation goes too, you know, so pretty interesting. Points.
Yeah, the landlord is going to say to himself, well, which, you know, which tenant has a chance to be here for many years and continue paying rent.
Exactly.
Make their life easier.
Absolutely.
It goes on, Marty. It's just one of many dramatic deals, you mentioned deals a couple times, cropping up in franchising, an industry beleaguered by stagnant growth due to lack of capital. Franchise concepts as varied as 360 Painting, a national exterior painting franchise, and Sunbrook Academy, a fledgling developer of early childhood education centers,
mm-hmm.
are reducing fees or providing other incentives to attract buyers. We have a lot of folks that are contemplating retiring or have retired from a corporate job, said Huddle House's VP of Development, Thomas Flaherty. We came over from fast food chain Papa John's last summer to help spearhead franchise expansion. They're looking to invest. We also get existing restaurateurs from other concepts. Huddle House is willing to take a hit on franchising revenues for the near term on the promise of growth, spurred in part by incentives to new and existing franchisees. Many landlords and developers starving for occupants. Operators are likely to see generous terms on sales, rents, and build-outs to keep the expansion ball rolling, he said. There's probably not been in modern history a better time to get land than now. So many
right.
vacant spaces across the country, said Flaherty, adding the 45-year-old chain with more than 400 restaurants, opened 20 new stores last year, and expects to sign agreements for at least 30 additional units this year. Part of our growth plan is to get out there while the timing is good, he says.
Timing. I mean, it does. I mean, to me, it seems great. Again, as far as especially negotiation goes with the landlords and the franchisor.
Right.
Absolutely. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I thought this was kind of interesting, too, something that I haven't thought of. But what about the possibility also of not just leasing the space, but even buying the space? You know, the nice gentleman from Mako, and I forget his name, he'll come back to me in a second, but talking that, you know, a lot of their franchisees actually buy the land,
right.
you know, and then 15 years, I guess, when they get out of the franchise or if they intend to sell the franchise, that's part of their, you know, 21st century 401k is, I think, what they called it,
right.
you know. So it becomes an asset to the business. So kind of interesting. I think there's a lot of great opportunities out there. Yet, you know, it's not me putting up the money. I can understand the trepidation, you know, like the gentleman last week, Chris, you know,
right.
his fear. Absolutely. So big things to think about. They're very big decisions. It's not a decision that's made in 5 minutes, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, but you mentioned something interesting just in, you know, in general. This is, you know, any business is going to be a risk to start up. And, yeah, we've gone through a real rough economy. But, you know, if you make the right decision, lease the right space, go with a franchise that's giving these type of incentives,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can really be set yourself up nicely in a business because we know it's just a matter of time
right.
with the economy coming back, and you can be in real good position. You know, people getting financing, the rates are the lowest in 5 years, a lot of opportunities.
Absolutely, you know, so I think these are fantastic articles, you know, so why don't we do this, Don? Why don't we take a break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
My attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchipreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're going to be talking about guerrilla marketing for the franchisee. Many franchisees enter into a franchise business and think owning their own business will be much easier than it really is. We have the pleasure of meeting with Todd Wood, CEO of Guerrilla Marketing Strategies, and Eddie Leonard, who is Chief Operating Guerrilla. Hey, Todd and Eddie, how you guys doing today?
Great. Good to be with you.
Good.
Good morning,
thanks,
guys.
Eddie and Todd. How you doing today, guys?
Awesome. Good. Every day, just a different day, but looking forward to it. Thanks for having
us
on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Guys, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Ed and Toddy. And Ed and Todd. Sorry about that.
Hey, that works, too.
Toddy.
Toddy and Ed.
Toddy. He's a hot toddy, man.
Don, how are you?
He's not there. Don must have taken a bathroom break, but I'm sure he'll be back.
No problem.
But anyway, guys, we're both excited to have you guys on the show today because, I mean, Don and I are both big marketers. I mean, we love marketing. Don actually introduced this book to me several years ago. You know, he was a big fan of it. So, you know, congratulations on the success of the book as well.
Thank you.
You know, it's fantastic. Todd, I thought I would start with you. How did you become a guerrilla marketer?
Well, I kind of tripped into it by accident, thank goodness. But back in 1997, I set out to own my own franchise business. I signed up to be a Jamba Juice franchisee and moved to Phoenix, Arizona, 850 miles away from my house. I was really excited about it, like everybody is and when they sign up. And, you know, I got to that grand opening day and was ready to launch and kick the doors open and was excited, had everyone ready to go, and nothing happened. You know, I'm like,
absolutely.
What's the deal? Where are the people? So basically, I got to the point to where I did a lot of things once, and if it didn't work, I abandoned it and tried something else. And, you know, the short of it is we got, you know, 6 months and a year into it, and things were miserable. It just wasn't working for us, and we were way short on our numbers. My investor was wondering what the heck, you know, we were doing. And finally, I just started reaching out, trying to find answers anywhere, and I ended up in the bookstore and ran across the book Guerrilla Marketing, the original by Jay Levinson.
Yeah.
And I picked this thing up, and I'm like, what in the world is guerrilla marketing? I didn't understand what it was, never heard of it before. And sat down and started to read and you know, read half the book in one sitting and basically realized that I was doing a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things that I wasn't doing that I should have been.
Uh-huh.
The things that I was doing were incorrect and ineffective. And then basically that's what started it. So we started putting everything into play, and things started really turning around for us.
Hey,
you think that happens
a
lot,
Johnson,
too? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that, Marty. Yeah, I think it's interesting, Todd, looking over the book. I mean, so many people across the country have gone across your situation of just because you invest in a franchise and it's a, you know, well-known name that you're going to open the doors and do very well. So it was interesting how you hit, you know, a brick wall, and it was a big eye-opening experience. And that, you know, even though the franchisor is giving you support and everything to be successful, you know, you really have to, you know, do more and get out there because you're in charge, and the business only can be as good as what you make it. It was very interesting how you went into specifics and found this book and turned the whole thing around. It was just really an amazing.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you what, I would say in working with franchisees and franchisors over the years, one thing that Eddie and I have found is that if there's one message to take away from today's interview, it's that it's not as easy as it seems. However, if we do the right things, if we do it correctly, it really, really helps us really launch into success. And I think the biggest thing people lack is patience and understanding that we really need to hit people multiple times with our marketing message in many different ways. You know, through just being very aggressive at it, waking up every day asking that question, what can I do today to impact my business? And, you know, things will work.
Yeah, no,
so
it's...
You went through. Go ahead, Marty.
I was going to say, you know, Todd, you were mentioning, I mean, just going back to that old rule, Todd, you know, if it was 7 to 10 times someone has to see your message before they respond to it, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, things going on out there where you only see the ad once or twice, and, you know, that's where the business typically gives up, you know, so...
That is true. I think, yeah, people find that, you know, they think, hey, I bought into this great franchise, and I'm going to, you know, ride on the coattails of the brand name. And that is the biggest misconception out there. And I wish I would have known more going into it because I thought, oh, yeah, you know, Jamba Juice is successful, but we were the first one in the state of Arizona. In fact, the first one outside of California. I thought the brand would carry over. But I learned miserably that first couple of years was brutal. But I'm so glad we stuck it out and I learned what I did and, you know, really stuck with it because we do need to be in front of people 7 to 9 times to really – make an impact.
Yeah.
Can I share a quick story on that? Just this week, I've been driving by well, the last couple weeks on my route to my office here on Bell Road in Phoenix, I've been driving by this Carl's Jr. restaurant. I didn't even know they were there up until a few weeks ago, but they've got somebody standing out on the corner. And, you know, you've got a big brand name there. You've got a big company, but it's probably independently owned. And they have somebody on the street all day long, on the street corner. And you know, you're all familiar with banner waving, and it's becoming pretty successful these days, a
right.
lot of people doing it.
Yeah.
But these guys take it to another level. I mean, they have a girl out there, or a young woman, or young man, whatever the shift is, and they're waving pom-poms. They've got a sign saying 99 cents hot dogs today. They even have a coach's whistle in their mouth. I mean, and you know what? To some it might seem a little over the top, a little obnoxious,
yeah.
but I'll tell you what. I know that business is there on the corner now for when I'm hungry. It
yeah.
works. That's the kind
now,
of stuff.
What does that remind
works.
You of, Marty? Marty, what does that remind you of? With Tom?
It reminds me, and Don and I, this is how well we know each other. I think you're thinking of Liberty Tax, Don.
Right, right.
That's
yeah.
you know, it's I don't know if you guys ever seen Liberty Tax, but I saw it the
all
other
over
day.
All over the place.
Yeah,
well,
they
yeah.
have the you know person standing outside with the, you know they got the Statue of Liberty and they're waving to all the cars.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, it really works. I mean, it's tax season, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's
you know
just,
here and it's interesting. Here's the key to that, though. One of the things I've noticed is you've got to get the right person out there. Sometimes
yes.
people think I'm going to get the cheapest person I can get, and it looks like they've got a
yeah.
you know excuse the expression, but a homeless person out there that's
sure
that, you know unshaved and
yeah.
doesn't give the right message. So that's one of the things that we teach is that marketing is any contact we have with any part of the public, and so you know if we're going to have somebody out there on the street, we got to make sure it's the right person doing the right thing.
It's true. It really is enthusiasm, you know, and we see it every weekend. You know, a lot of times, a lot of retailers, you know, they may have a sale and they have someone standing out, like, on the highway with a sign, and they're just standing there. There's nothing,
right.
there's no emotion or anything. So
yep.
I definitely agree with you guys on that. There has to be that emotion and enthusiasm there. It's really fantastic. How did you get involved, Eddie, in guerrilla marketing?
Well, I've had a long career in marketing, and in the last 7 or 8 years, I've been doing some consulting work for franchise companies, some that are you know very successful, and others that let's just say that where the franchisees are struggling, and you know I was just beating my head against the wall trying to you know teach franchisees the right way to market their business, and a lot of them, especially the ones that are not you know finding the success that they want immediately, they get frustrated. And
mm-hmm.
I was doing some research online, and lo and behold, I found Todd's book, Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees.
Yeah.
I bought a copy online. I read the thing in one day, and it was like, yeah, this
right.
guy is reading my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows it. He knows it. And so I called Todd up, and I said, hey, Todd, do me a favor. Could you come out to this franchise group? Because, you know, like most franchisors, we have monthly training
right.
sessions. Can you come out? And then I also asked him to come out to our annual meeting. Please tell your story to our franchisees. And when he came out and told his story to the franchisees, it was like a light bulb went on in most of their heads. You know, some people are just never going to get it because, you know, they just expect everything to happen for them, you know,
exactly.
there's an entitlement thing. We're Americans. We want it now, and
right.
we expect to be millionaires just because we wrote a check. But Todd really opened their eyes and opened their minds to guerrilla marketing. And I, you know, I've been involved in, you know, guerrilla marketing in effect ever since my early days. I used to be the head of marketing at Six Flags Theme Parks. And we did the guerrilla marketing. We didn't call it guerrilla marketing because Jay Levinson's book wasn't out yet. But we were doing some wild, crazy things out in the street. And I really synced up to Todd's book, Guerrilla Marketing, and it really helped our franchisees turn their businesses around.
Wow.
So maybe, Eddie, maybe expand on that and tell people what is guerrilla marketing and how does it differ from other marketing?
Well, guerrilla marketing, you know, anybody can put an ad in a newspaper. Anybody can call up a TV station and buy an ad on TV or on the radio.
Right.
But guerrilla marketing takes more of your own intelligence and your own thought process and a little bit of elbow grease and less money. That's the nice part about it, is you don't have to spend the big bucks that you spend on TV and radio. It's creative things. It's just getting out. It's really about relationship building one-on-one. It's about being out in the community, doing things like Todd talked about, you know, waving the banners. But it also includes things like becoming the expert in your community and writing stories for the newspaper, putting out flyers, and doing all of those what we call on-the-street kind of things that really, yeah, it takes more of your time and more of your effort, but less of your cash, and it pays off in the long run. Let's face it. Nobody builds a relationship with an ad in a newspaper. Nobody builds a relationship with an ad on TV or radio. But when you're out there guerrilla marketing, you're meeting people, you're talking to your customers face-to-face, one-on-one, and it really is more effective.
So,
can I add a little to that, Eddie?
Yeah, Todd, I was just going to mention, you know, you quickly read half the book. Seems like you really got remotivated when you were at a low. So you completed the book, got some other ideas, and you maybe finish your story, which can tie in this question as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I started realizing that we could compete with larger companies on a small budget. And that's the beauty of business today, is that no matter how small a company, a one-person company, can actually, you know, look like a large company with the way we can print things at such a low cost, and we can really geo-target an area. If I've got a retail location, I can really own that neighborhood through hitting that neighborhood multiple times with different things. But what we ended up doing with, one of the things that helped us turn it around is I decided to not wait for business to come to us, but we actually went out and got the business. We came up with an offsite smoothie sales program to where we actually went into junior highs and elementary schools and did some fundraising programs. And I would say that fundraisers are a huge asset right now to small business and franchise companies because, my wife's been PTA president for 3 years at our school and is always looking for ways to earn money for the school. I know it's that way countrywide. And so we tapped into schools. We did offsite sales. Everywhere we went, I really am a big believer that whatever business you're engaged in at that time, you need to really be into that business. Everywhere I went, I was wearing a logoed shirt. I carried free smoothie cards everywhere I went. I was in the grocery store. Someone said, "Hey, what's Jamba Juice?" And I pulled out a free card and told them about it real quick and invited them in. I think too many times, we want to leave work at work. And the reality is that, we need to bring it into our community where we live. A lot of people don't even know what their neighbors do for work. And what a shame, because it's really effective to get with people and other businesses and cross promote. But our story, long story short, but we ended up growing the 5 stores. We did have to relocate our first 2 locations. It was very painful, but it paid off in the end. After about an 8 or 9 year run, we were growing at double that of the company average. At about 450 stores that were growing at 6% year over year, we were able to maintain a 12% year-over-year growth. And that's not because I'm great or because, some magical thing. It's because we were doing the right things and we were relentless about sticking with the plan, even when we got successful. A lot of times we get, we start getting all these sales and then guess what the first thing is to go? Marketing. We think, oh, we've got sales coming in.
Right.
So we back off on our marketing plan. We just didn't do that. We were always pedal to the metal, so to speak.
Always on the offensive, right? Mm-hmm. Being relentless, always put the name out there. Could never be.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, guys, that your 5-year-old child probably knows more about guerrilla marketing than you do.
Right.
Because when they want something, they don't walk up and say, "Daddy." They say, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy," until you finally go,
"That's
what?"
Right.
Exactly. It's so true.
They get your attention.
Yeah.
It is. It's all about the tapping in, getting attention, owning the neighborhood where we're doing business, owning that market, and there's so much opportunity out there. I mean, yeah, we are in challenging times, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
The message is, if people want success, it's out there. It's just doing the right things. I would add one thing, too, to that, and that is if we ever get to a point where our business starts slowing down, the first thing I would suggest people do is go back 90 days and look at that past 90 days and look at what we have done in our business to what was our marketing looking like. What marketing activities were we engaged in? And I will bet almost every single time that there is a direct correlation between the amount of marketing we do and our sales level. They are directly correlated. And people will be blown away at how simple that is when they actually look at it. Sales are low. Hey, what were you doing the last 90 days? Because it takes, 90 days plus for things to work.
Right. It's true. It really is a numbers game, isn't it, Eddie and Todd?
It is.
It's just
numbers game.
Absolutely. That's what I got out of the book too. Is it's okay for the franchisee to really go beyond, I guess, the franchise system. You know, a lot of times Don and I on the show, we say, okay, follow the system. But, you know, after, you know, reading your book, I was thinking, you know, it is okay for the franchisee to, you know, follow your tactics and really go above and beyond what the franchise is asking. Because as you guys say or know, you know, a lot of times these franchisees just expect business to come to them, you know, and this is being more aggressive, you know, so...
Well, and every market's different, guys. Every market is different, and so we do need to do that. We're big believers in sticking by the rules of the franchise, you know, follow the system. But I love what you say about it. You know, it's true. We need to give ideas to corporate. I mean, you know, franchisees are on the front lines every day. They know better than anybody else what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to respect the franchise company and everybody that's trying to set the system up. And we in the field, I had people, you know, store managers that would bring an idea to me that I thought was brilliant. We brought it to corporate and said, hey, we'd love to do this idea. We got sign off on it. We did some testing with their blessing, and they ended up, you know, rolling it out to the whole system. Some of the very best ideas come from the field in franchise companies.
Absolutely, yeah. We've seen that a lot, haven't we, Don? You know, over the last
few
years, just referencing stories, you know, of
You
know, what Eddie and Todd are talking about. Absolutely. It's really fascinating.
Even going back to the beginning of franchising, some well-known franchisors, even like, McDonald's?
McDonald's,
with
the Filet of Fish, and all those other stories. It really is fantastic. So what do the Guerrilla Marketing Strategy workshops and webinars actually cover, guys?
Well, you know, there's that old saying, those who can't teach, and we like to turn that upside down, and we teach and we do. We conduct live seminars and webinars, interactive webinars. So, you know, Todd and I will come out and we'll spend as much time as the organization wishes us to spend. Todd usually does a keynote speech, introductory speech, and then we break it up into workshops, really interactive workshops where we get franchisees involved in the planning of their own future marketing. And so we teach these workshops and webinars online. We also are now doing mobile marketing and social interactive marketing and street team kind of marketing where we do the planning and the implementation for them. Because we found a lot of franchisees, even after they get the message, they're still a little reluctant to do it themselves, and many times they'll just hire us to do it for them. And we're really easy to find. I'll give a plug here. We're at gmarketingstrategies.com, or you could follow us on Twitter at gmktg. It's a shortened version of Guerrilla Marketing. It's GMKTG, and that's also our email address is gmktg@aol.com. Todd also has another site called EffectiveMarketingTV.com. So
yeah,
we're
which is
easy
fantastic.
To find.
I saw that. Yeah,
and by the way,
anybody
wants to send us an email, we'll send you out a free you know, web sample of the book. Doesn't cost you anything. There's no obligation. We don't bug you with hits on your website or hits on your email. We just send it to you.
Yeah, it was about, and I got to see the videos too, Todd.
Good.
That Eddie was talking about. It really are fantastic. I'm going to have to send you the link to that, Don, because you would like it. You know, being in marketing, but really some fascinating stories on that too. Todd,
yeah, we're looking for marketing rock stars.
Anyone
wants to share an idea? We're looking for marketing rock stars that, you know, we can bring on and do, you know, do a 3 to 5 minute video on, you know, how they've turned things around. Some of the best ideas come from industry to industry, and one of the things we've adopted, you know, at an early age, you know, years ago was, we need to work together. A lot of times we think our competition, let's say if I'm in the tile and grout cleaning business, we think the other tile and grout cleaners are our competition. That may be true to an extent, but you know what our real competition is? It's all the media out there. We're hit with 2,700 marketing messages a day.
Right.
And so really our real competition, you know, we need to team up together, whatever our industry is, help other people, help other businesses. Some of the most effective marketing is what we call strategic partnering. Which is, you know, a fancy word for helping other businesses cross promote with, you know, a tile and grout cleaner can get with the dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can advertise on pizza box tops. You get different restaurants helping each other grow, and it's magical the things that happen.
Oh, absolutely, and sharing best practices as well. You know, what's worked for, you know, different businesses.
Exactly.
I think that's fantastic. Absolutely.
You know what really comes to mind?
Marketing tactics. What you just mentioned really weren't the norm, what you just talked about. So these are all, you know, such valuable bits of information for people looking to, get ahead with their marketing.
Yeah.
So, is there, what's the silver bullet, guys, if there is one?
you know what, I've been looking for that for years, and when I picked up guerrilla marketing, I was hoping, you know, in the very beginning, I was hoping to find the silver bullet, because I tried so many things, and I'm like, I would ask people, I would interview different business owners, I would talk to all my dad's successful friends and say, you know, what is it that really turned your business around? And what we came to find was we were very disappointed, because there really is not a silver bullet. The silver bullet is marketing combinations and repetition. Really, it's hitting people, introducing our message through many different ways. For example, there's in the city I live in, about 30,000 people outside of Phoenix, and there's a pest control company. There's probably 40 in this community. I mean, in the pest control industry, there's it's very saturated. However, this company, Titan Pest Control, just owns this neighborhood, because they'll do multiple things. When I moved into my home, they sent me a welcome to the neighborhood postcard with a free free pest control service for the first time, and it gave them an opportunity to come into my home and impress us with, you know, their professionalism and so forth. And then we would see them at community events. Every year at the Veterans Day Parade, they have their Titan Pest Control trucks just driving by waving at people. They're at every carnival in the community that they can be at with a booth. I get a door hanger from them, you know, once a year. I see them in the In-N-Out magazine that comes out weekly. Every single week they've got an ad in there. I see their trucks driving around. I see them on the backs of T-shirts at running events. You get the idea? There's so many different ways. I've got a refrigerator magnet from them that came home with my kids from school. They do fundraisers with the schools. It's, you know, this type of marketing, it seems overwhelming, but really it's not, because we teach a 7-step marketing plan that helps people really break it down from, wow, there's all these ideas out there. How do I actually implement these things?
Right.
And it's really more simple than people think. It's choosing the tools that you want to work with and anxiously be engaged in 5 to 10 different marketing activities at once, 5 to 10 different outlets of marketing at one time, like many of the ones that I just listed. A lot of those things are autopilot. We can set them up. They're systematized to where it doesn't take much effort, and they just run on their own. So marketing combinations is the silver bullet.
And, you know, I'd just like to add to that. You know, those of us who are in marketing and students of marketing have heard the terms reach and frequency. And that really, those, if there are silver bullets, I think reach and frequency are the silver bullets. You know, most franchisees that are not that familiar with marketing will try something, as Todd said, try something once. They put an ad in the paper, and if the phone doesn't ring and if the customers don't come in, they get discouraged.
Right.
And they say, oh, that didn't work, and they throw it away and they move on to the next thing. Well, you can very quickly burn out every form of marketing and say to yourself, it doesn't work. But as you know, how many people you reach and how many times you reach them is really the magic bullet.
We've thought of, if we do another book, something to the effect of, you know, direct mail doesn't work, or door hangers don't work, or advertising doesn't work, and then the subtitle is going to be, you know, if used alone and not in conjunction with other things, because it's true. I always teach people, hey, if you're going to do, if you're going to put one ad one time in the newspaper, don't waste your money.
Right.
If you're going to be on the radio and not get the right amount of frequency, don't waste your money. Save it. You know, do I get a full page ad in a magazine once, or do I get 12 small ones throughout the year? 12 small ones throughout the year. It's a no-brainer.
Exactly. That's fascinating. So how do small companies compete with, you know, big marketing budgets? You know, like how does a small time, like let's say, franchise retailer compete with like a Walmart who's got like an unlimited budget, it seems like?
Well, it's a great question, and it's something that, you know, I think franchisees face every day, because there is that competition out there. But it comes back to what we were talking about owning our market, owning our neighborhood. For example, if I owned a restaurant on 7th Street and Bell Road here in Phoenix, and it was just the only one in the valley of its type, I would not be doing any kind of valley-wide marketing. I would not be doing any kind of radio, no television. What we would be doing is hitting that radius around there, you know, the 30,000 people around there, up to 50,000, and just work our way from the nucleus of our store location out. I'd be, you know, hitting them with different things from door hangers, direct mail pieces, and if we target on a small audience, a real targeted audience, people get something from us multiple times in a month. We're going to seem huge, because the people right around us that we're going for are going to see us so many times, they're going to go, gosh, this restaurant must be unbelievably awesome because I see their stuff all the time. And so it really comes down to targeting and hitting the same people multiple times. If I ever send out a direct mail postcard with a company for a company, the minimum is 3 times, and we do one a week or one every other week to the same person, same postcard, maybe change up the message a little bit. I would never think of just once because we talk about we need to be in front of people 7 to 9 times. That's the good news. The bad news is that for every 3 times we put out our marketing message, people really only see it once. Because if you think about the junk mail out there and all the 2,700 marketing messages which represent clutter, our message gets lost. So we need to just continually beat on it. So we can compete with the big dogs by just target marketing.
And I'd just like to add to that what a small business can do that a large business probably won't do because they won't dedicate the time and the effort and the money is really get involved in the community. Get out there and speak at the local chamber of commerce. Get involved in the local little leagues. Do things in your community to let people know that you live here, you're part of the community, and you're not going anywhere.
Absolutely, I agree.
I like your chapter 4 in this book, The Formula for Franchise Success. And maybe, Todd, you can talk just real quickly about the proper success mindset, which is so important. So many people, when things go wrong, you get negative thoughts, and that can fester. But having that correct mindset from the start is real crucial in starting out all this.
Absolutely. That's something that even I have a challenge with. And a lot of times, people see us at workshops and keynotes and see us at our best and the energy but people need to understand that I believe every human being, every person, at some point, has to. They have those days where they just don't feel like getting up and doing it, and especially if you don't see an immediate result. I compare marketing to exercise. Eddie and I talk about this analogy a lot because, we know exercise is crucial for our health. It's very important. There's been millions of studies on it. But why don't we do it on a regular basis? Because it's challenging. It's tough. Those that are physically fit and very healthy do the right things, but they don't go exercise and go to the gym one time and build muscle. It doesn't work that way. I always put my exercise clothes by my bed because I wake up and sometimes it's dark that early. And if I don't step right into my running shoes, I don't get out the door. So we need to set up those systems. I believe the biggest thing that the biggest challenge for franchisees and small business owners is overcoming that everyday challenge of, my gosh, what am I going to do today? Things aren't working like I'd like them to be. And we just need to remember one of my favorite quotes. It's in the book that says, every day in Africa, a gazelle wakes up, and needs to run faster than the slowest lion, or else he'll be eaten that day. And every day a lion wakes up, trying to catch the slowest gazelle. And it really doesn't matter whether we're a gazelle or a lion. When that sun comes up, we'd better be running.
Absolutely.
And it's that way in business. Guys, especially in this economy, especially with the challenge that we have a lot of businesses going dark. It is a mindset. I believe that there's so much to learn. Eddie and I never get to the point to where we feel like we know it all. We need to consistently be learning and listening to different audio tapes and programs and listening to programs like this. And this thing that you guys are doing is phenomenal. I mean, what a great service you guys are providing to franchisees because we need to learn from others. So, really, that success mindset, it comes down to us. I used to, my first year and a half in the franchise business, I would find every person to blame for my lack of success. And we see this all over the place. There are fingers going to bad weather, people pointing at the franchisor doesn't do enough for me.
Right.
They're pointing fingers at the fact that they have a bad location. Until I actually stepped up and said, it's my fault. I need to take responsibility every day for the success of my business, and things really started turning around at that point.
That's fantastic.
But it's a daily challenge, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's been a fascinating topic for Don and I. We'd love to definitely have you guys back. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on you guys? I know there's a couple websites that you plugged earlier, but if any listeners just came in late, or you can plug
go to GMarketingStrategies.com. Okay. You can go to effectivemarketingtv.com. Those are our two main websites. And just send us an email. Use the free information there, and we'd love to hear from anybody.
That's fantastic. I want to thank both of you gentlemen again. You've been fantastic guests, and I think you agree, Dom. We'd love to have them back.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Thanks, Todd and Eddie. Great job. This is such valuable information, and this goes into our archive. People will be listening to this a long time. Again, the book, Guerrilla Marketing for Franchisees, it's crucial.
Thanks, awesome to be with you guys. Let's go do some more marketing, shall we?
Absolutely. Thanks, Todd and Eddie. Have a great day, guys.
Care.
Go Guerrilla.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, very...
I really could have spoken to him a lot longer, you know, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
just with everything that they said, you know, it just makes so much sense. But as, you know, you're saying, it's okay for the franchisee to really go beyond, you know, and not just rely on the franchisor to just bring in the business, you know? I mean, everything that they're saying is just really right on, so...
And like what Todd and Eddie said, and that's a tough economy or good economy, but generally should always be doing it. Always try to maximize your sales and, you know, be doing all these things. Many aren't that expensive to do.
Absolutely, you know. So it's just funny how you and I were thinking of Liberty Tax, wasn't it, at the same
right,
time?
Yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, out-of-the-box creative thinking. And it's so true, you know, it worked. So
I think we only have so much time. I think all four of us wanted to say so much more. Because we all have so much experience in marketing, and we're all very passionate about it. So,
well, take notice I didn't go to commercial again, you know, so I'm going to get in trouble again, but that's okay. I had a lot of great information. So you did a great job today, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Great, Marty. Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.